If you would, let's turn in scriptures to Proverbs and chapter 5. We're making our way through the book of Proverbs in our scripture readings. Proverbs chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 23. Proverbs chapter 5, and we'll begin in verse 1, and God's people, these are the words of God, so let's give our attention to Him as we hear Him. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof? And have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil, in the midst of the congregation and assembly. Drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind in pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman, and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. And he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. And those are God's words to us. A warning from Solomon to his son. And just like we are to do with children, he here is repeating himself with different words from chapter 2. And so it is for the children of God, not just our children, or for Solomon's children. It's for all the children of God here. We must have these things repeated for us. And the first through verse 2, that we would be greatly acquainted with and submit to the laws of wisdom. Generally speaking, we're going to see a lot more of the Lord's wisdom taught to us as we go through this book. And as we've already learned, one may only attain true wisdom in union with Jesus Christ, who personifies wisdom. He is wisdom. We heard that in going through the catechism after Sabbath school today. He is wisdom. If you want wisdom, then you are to do what? You are to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll become better acquainted with it. And then through verse 14, especially for young men that are warned here, but so too young ladies, the same warned of men who are like this. And many in our society today, men and women, so young men and young ladies, especially, but also those who are married, because he goes into that as well. all of us here are warned not only the sin of whoredom, but so too being entrapped by such a one and entering into relations with them. Any kind of relation with them, unless it be in evangelizing. Right? Often in Proverbs, this is called the adulterous woman. Here it's called the strange woman. Solomon is all too familiar with such women, if we know the history of Solomon's life. And so he's speaking not only being inspired of God, but through his experience being carried along by the Holy Spirit. And he teaches us that her end, the harlot's end, the adulterous woman, the strange woman, her end is bitter death. And so be removed far from her, lest you find such a bitter death apart from Christ by following after her. And then the Lord, through Solomon, gives us remedies against the adulterous woman or the strange woman and going to her. You might say, against the sin of adultery. And the first, of course, is implied throughout the Scriptures. Turn to Christ. Turn to Christ. But second, enjoy the wife of your youth. And ladies, enjoy the husband of your youth. Honor the marriage bed. Hebrews teaches us, Hebrews 13. And verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. He gives us the picture, the word picture. Drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Don't go to a strange one. Go to your own. When there are adulteries in marriage, then, it is often the case that the physical interaction of the marriage bed is not being made use of, right? And so remember even the Lord's warning, 1 Corinthians 7, defraud ye not one the other, speaking of spouses, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to what? To go out and play? No, to give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and then come together again, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency. And so if you're getting to the age of marriage, where you ought to be married soon, then pursue it in submission to Christ, as we've learned, with great help from your parents who can guard you and keep you and protect you from these kinds of people. The strange woman, the strange man, and then be married. And verse 21, there's here a reminder of God's omniscience, that He knows all things. And so you think you can hide these things, even your thoughts to do these things, if you don't act upon them. He still knows. He's omniscient. He knows all things. And so don't think you can hide your sins of adultery from Him. And then the last two verses are a reminder of the miserable end of the wicked. That's your turn to Christ today, lest you fall into the hands of the harlots and be enticed by her. And even we can apply this generally to sin. Sin is also the strange woman who entices and tries to get us to go into her. And so come out from her and turn to Christ. And the specific application, enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your spouse in union with Christ. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we give you praise today for your warning, how gracious you are to warn us of these things. As we think specifically of the young men and young women of the congregation here, and even the older men and women who are married now, Father, we ask that you would keep us by your Spirit and grace, keep us from the strange woman, the strange man, even the enticements of the devil and sin. That often, when we consider our sins, we can see how our flesh desires them so much. When our flesh ought to desire communion with Christ Jesus. And we often then, in our sin, put off that communion with Christ, and we'd rather have the things of this world, which we're going to hear a little bit about this morning in Matthew's Gospel, wanting the praise of men in this world rather than to give glory to the Lord in heaven forever. And so keep us from such sins, and keep us from, even when we are tempted, that you would cause us to resist the devil, that he would flee from us. We ask that you would lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We plead that you would, when the lusts of the flesh rise up, the temptations come, that you would cause us to remember this warning, and that we would not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit by an unsubmissive spirit and turn from you, who's warning us, to those fleshly sins. And Father, as we've heard these things this morning, we pray that you would forgive us of our sins. We have walked in these ways and lust after others and coveting one's wife or one's husband. Father, we have turned from you. We've committed adultery against you, even rebelled against you. When you command us not to have no other gods before you, we've often made ourselves our own gods. We've often made our work or money or various other things we could come in to bring up. We've made those things our God, and we've forsaken you. We've forsaken our personal devotions, our reading the Scriptures, our praying to you and crying to you, which shows our heart when we even do that in private. And Father, we've forsaken these things. We've forsaken, especially husbands and fathers, we've forsaken leading family worship, and we'd rather do other things, made things more important than worshiping you. And even this day, the Lord's Day, we've desecrated it oftentimes, lusting after the various sins that entice us. But Father, we know you see everything we do. You know what we are going to do even before we do it. That's how well you know us, and you know all things. And Father, we plead that you would forgive us of our sin, that you would remind us again and again that you see all, even the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And forgive us. We know we don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve your pardoning grace. But Father, by the blood of Christ, we plead unto you that you would receive us for his sake, that you would forgive us by his blood, that you would receive us unto your very presence and not remove your Holy Spirit from us, but keep us. Do not leave us nor forsake us. And what great hope we have that you won't, for those who are your people, because you've promised and you can't lie. You're always faithful to all your promises. Never once have you broken one single promise in all, not only the history of the world, but for all eternity. And you never will. And what a great comfort that is, that even now we have an advocate with you, the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. And so receive us for his sake. We pray today for this congregation, for our souls, that you would cleanse them from our sins. That if there are any here, even of our children, maybe even in the womb, that this would be the day of salvation for them, that you'd send your Spirit, just as we pray for the very youngest, as you caused even John the Baptist in the womb to leap in the presence of Christ. We call out and we ask that you would change the hearts and send your Spirit, that each one would believe in faith upon Jesus, your Son, for their life. Father, we pray also for our bodies, Pray for those who are sick, myself included. You would uphold us and strengthen us even as we're growing older, getting weaker, our bones and muscles failing, organs failing, in some cases beginning to fail. The cancers that we have had or will have or even perhaps have now that we don't know about. Father, sustain your people in body and soul, that we'd be able to serve you, that we would be able to worship you, that we'd be able to glorify your name as long as you have ordained that we would have breath. And so may it be that we could say with Paul, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, knowing the great reward, as we're going to hear this morning as well, the great reward that we have in Christ your Son in glory. When there will be no more pain or tears, but only comfort and peace and pure perfection of righteousness and purity of worship, and sitting at the table of the King forever and ever. And pray for this congregation you would provide for us and provide financially. Help us to be godly stewards, as we're going to hear as well this morning. That you would provide for us and do so even above and beyond what we could ever think you could ever do, if that would be your will. We pray that you would not snuff out our lampstand, but we leave that with you. And so may your will be done. We pray that you'd raise up new elders, new deacons for the next generation, that this church would continue, this congregation would continue. And Father, we ask that you would give us hearts that above all other things in all this world, in all creation, that we would love above all things, coming before your courts and worshiping you. Because of how much you have blessed us and how much you promised to bless us even through the means of grace. And what more could we desire but your grace? And so make us to be a healthy body, a healthy church. Sanctify us, cleanse us, and preserve us to the end. And we pray that the gospel will go forth from here and many would hear on the salvation. That we'd be constant in evangelism, but that's why we're here. That the nations would come unto you. And so, Father, bring that about. And we put our faith in you, trusting you'll bring that about. Even perhaps this nation. And Father, now we ask that you would bless us in our worship as we continue offering imperfect worship before you. We pray that Christ, your Son, would perfect it and you would receive it just as you receive his prayers, responding yes and amen. We do pray in Christ's name. Amen.